Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 111 of Constructive Criticism. This is like take five of the episode. Man, some serious recording issues. I've done an episode with Matt and Manny, then an episode with Matt, and now, so it's really take three. And now I have an episode with just Manny. So, Manny, what happened, dude? Did you die on Monday?
On Monday? What do you mean on Monday? You mean Sunday?
Sunday. I still am not used to this new recording schedule.
Yes, yeah, no, you bet. Well, Saturday night, I celebrated with, you know, Casey Bloodworth on my best finish in a PPGQ, and I went a little overboard with the drinking, and I think it weakened my immune system, so I'm battling off a little cold or flu right now, which is fine. I'll get over it.
So you obviously haven't been doing this podcast long enough, whereas Casey and I did it forever, but alcohol kills germs, and that's something we preach on the system. So I don't believe that the alcohol had anything to do with it.
You're right. You're right. It must be all the good diet and exercise that got me.
Well, welcome everyone to episode 111 of Constructive Criticism. Let's talk about our sponsor really quick. So you can check out our sponsor, Oasis Games, at OasisGamesSLC.com. You get 15% off of your first order by using code CCMTG at checkout. That's CCMTG. You can use the code WouldThatBeGood to get 5% off of every order if you've already used that CCMTG code. This just makes Oasis the best place to buy Magic cards.
Even without these codes, it is still the best place to buy cards.
I mean, it's pretty easy for us. We don't have to pay for shipping, right? We just go in and pick up the cards.
Right.
But to be fair, like I believe Channel Fireball does this also, but if you order something over $20, it's free shipping inside the U.S., honestly, I know that there's a huge market in Australia from our podcast listeners specifically. So if you're an Australian listener, share with your friends. Let people know. Like, you know, every time somebody uses the code at Oasis Games, it makes Alex Sittner, you know, pat me on the back one more time. And I have a great relationship with Alex. He's like one of my very good friends. And anytime you guys can go in and use the code, it means a lot to me. So. Don't forget, let's say that you don't need to buy any Magic cards. How would you support this podcast, Manny?
I would look into our Patreon.
Yeah, so you can check that out at our Patreon page at patreon.com/CCMTG. Shout out to Matt Richter.
I believe it's pronounced Richter.
Oh my gosh, that would be way better if somebody got his name right.
I've listened to you and Matt butcher it like a few times, and I wanted to step in. I'm positive that it's Richter.
Well, I hope it's Richter, and that we ended up saying at least right once.
And thank you.
And also, thank you. It means a lot to us. Anytime somebody can donate any amount of money. It was actually really funny. We had a few people adjust their Patreon amounts, and they actually messaged me on Facebook. They're like, hey, man, it's more than one person. They all said, hey, man, I'm sorry. Like, I needed to adjust this amount. I want, you know, I still love your podcast. And it's like, I don't think you guys understand that this podcast is free for a reason. It's free because we want to make you better at Magic.
Well, and we're so grateful for any amount. Like, we thank you for any amount, $1, you know, $1.50. It doesn't matter. We're just happy that you think we're worth something.
It starts at $1 a month. You donate whatever you feel like it's you want. And Matt, thank you for yours. And thank you to everybody. I don't care if you adjust your amount down or up. I don't care what you do. Anything that you're doing is appreciated. It doesn't matter what it is. We really appreciate all of our fans, the ones that donate, the ones that are in college that can't donate. Everyone listening, we appreciate you. We just feel like what we're doing is worth something. And that's why we set the Patreon page up. So become a patron at patreon.com/CCMTG. Every week on this podcast, we talk about how we got better at Magic. This segment is called hashtag always improving. We've also invited our patrons from our Patreon page to join in and talk to us about give us a question that they want. It was something that was requested of us when we started the Patreon page. They said, hey, you should give the patrons a chance to ask like in-depth questions. And as many of you have been listening for a long time know, we get compared to limited resources a lot, which is fine. When I designed this podcast, I was like, I want a constructed version of limited resources. It's gone away from that. We're not that anymore. Marshall's one of my good friends. I like what he does. I talked to him about podcasting. Him and KYT are the two people I go to. And Marshall does this already, and I just don't want – people to feel like I'm copying Marshall, because I'm not. I do go to Marshall for advice. He's one of the people that I really trust in. But it was so requested, so many people wanted this, that we now invite, there's a thread on our Patreon page. To access it, you just need to donate $1 or more per month. You can post any question, very in-depth, deck lists, anything you want to that page. We'll pick one every week, go over it, very in-depth. It'll take about 5 to 10 minutes of the podcast, and check it out. But every week we want to talk about how we got better at Magic. That is what hashtag improving is all about. It shows that we ourselves are not perfect at Magic. Obviously, we're not. We're not gold pros. We're not platinum pros. We're not Owen Turtenwald. We're not John Finkel. We're not Paul Amadorosa. Not yet, man. Manny said Manny's gonna get there. But we believe that we can get better at Magic, and that's through this. So, Manny, how did you get better at Magic this week?
Well, I prepared pretty extensively for the PPTQ this last Saturday. It was a 32-man. I did pretty well. I finished second place. I lost to a local, actually, Oasis Games player, Pete. How do you say his last name?
Is it Dutcher?
I think so. Yeah, I don't want to butcher it, but I'm going to say Pete Dutcher. Really good player, good buddy, you know, good acquaintance of mine. I really like the guy a lot, and I'm glad that I could I could have lost to somebody that I like.
You know, I've played against him, I think, a total of 2 times.
How did that go?
I believe we're 1-1, and then we split. We've intentionally drawn in the finals of the last 3
yeah, that sounds par.
We played in.
That sounds par for the course, yeah.
Like, it's funny because I'm like, man, when am I going to play Pete? When am I going to play Pete? When am I going to play Pete? And it's always like, hey, Pete, you want to draw in the last round so we can both make $50 and go home? Yeah, absolutely. And it's it's been every time. I think that we've drawn more than that. I think that between myself, him, and Adam Swenson, I've drawn about, like, 14 of these events.
Wow.
Like, it feels like that much. That might be a little bit of an over-exaggeration, but...
I mean, you've drawn the event a lot.
I have only lost two rounds ever in those Wednesday events.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
You just suck, Manny.
Oh!
Shots fired. Dude, it's cool. It's how you pump each other up. That's what good friends do. So second place, dude. It's funny, because when I think about, like, people getting better at Magic, the people that I want to help are, like, the people who invited me a lot, and you're, like, I didn't bring you onto this podcast because I thought you were great at Magic. I brought you onto this podcast.
Hey,
hold on. Can you let me compliment you?
Yes, I'll take it.
All right. I brought you onto this podcast because I believe you believe in what I believe. That sounded weird. But you have the mindset of, there's always something you can do better, and that's a lot better than a lot of people in the world. And I always believe there's something that I can do, and watching you and things that you could do, you're happy when you, like, do better than you did last time, but you're always trying to do the next thing that you want to do, and that's important to me. And watching you go from your first PPTQ top 8 to this one where you took second, the thing is like, you being happy because you improved is okay. And it was funny because Nicole, your girlfriend, and my wife, Devin Ares, were sitting at Buffalo Wild Wings waiting for you. They're like, oh, this is going to be terrible. Manny's going to be so mad. This is going to be terrible. And for me, it was like, no, I don't think of Manny that way. I think that he's going to be okay. He'll be a little upset with himself that he lost, but I think he'll make it. And watching you improve week in and week out has meant a lot to me. So congratulations, man. Like, hopefully you take down the one this Saturday and you qualify for Denver.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me. I'm going to tear up. I need to pause.
So while you're tearing up, let me talk about how I improved the Magic this week. So as many of you know, I'm married and I have to adjust myself quite a bit as far as, like, where I play Magic, when I play Magic, and I'm trying to get a lot more Magic in on my Monday and Tuesdays days off while my wife is at work. And then also, I actually started playing Magic in bed before I fall asleep. So I, like, play a couple games. I played 3 matches of Magic today in between, like, going and getting on a unicycle. That's not the word. a stationary bike.
Yes. Okay, makes way more sense.
Yeah. So I just, like, I'm trying to fit Magic into my life, and I want to change my lifestyle a little bit, as well as just giving my wife the time that she deserves because she's awesome. So this week In the last, I mean, it's been 2 weeks now, but basically I've played about a bajillion D games with Abzan and Rug, just like mastering those decks. I want to be like ready to go. I want to be ready to go for the next PPTQ season. Did some drafts, like, practicing my Modo skills. I'm playing more on Modo again. I played 6 matches on Modo, almost doubling what I've done the 2 weeks before this. More than doubling, actually.
So do you have a set specific goal on how much Magic you want to play each day, or is your goal just to play, you know, more than you have been playing?
So it's not a goal as to how much Magic I want to play. It's amount of meaningful Magic that I want to play. So, for example, today I found somebody on Cockatrice who was playing extremely fast, very focused, and he was like, "Hey, man, like after this, do you want to test some more against different decks with your Abzan deck?" I was like, "Yeah, I do." So we played against his Esper deck, we played against some other stuff, and it was awesome. It was a great experience, and that's what I'm looking for when I'm playtesting right now, is just great experiences so that I feel like I'm gaining something. Because, like, you can play 100 games of Magic and not learn anything from it.
Well,
so
and I think part of that is you're only ever going to be as good as your partner.
I don't think that's true. I think that you can be so confident and so... like understanding of, like, for example, like how good I am with Scapeshift, that didn't come from playing against a billion really good Magic players, right?
Mm-hmm.
That came from playing a billion games with Scapeshift.
Sure.
So it's a balancing act, but I want to get more meaningful games in, and I got some great meaningful games in the last week. So that's how I improved at Magic, was increasing the quality of Magic I'm playing when I'm playing it, and also like improving my life while I'm doing it. Let's go into this, though. Let's, like, knock this episode out. There's not really a lot to say. We don't have a Patreon. That's down. I said it right that time. We don't have a Patreon question this week for our hashtag Always Improving. But if you are a patron and want to submit a Patreon question, go to patreon.com/ccmtg. There is a thread going. There's already some likes on it. Just post any question in a deck list. Anything you want us to talk about, we'll pick one a week and we'll go over it. So, but... Power rankings, we are including 2 GPs, an SCG Open, and a 5K. So the last 3 weeks of Standard. So something that happened this weekend is I watched Magic coverage, a ton of it. Sunday was really slow. I actually got sent home early from work because it was so slow, so I got to watch a ton of Magic. I watched the Limited GP and the Constructed GP. And something that was happening in the Constructed GP chat was people were saying that Abzan wasn't doing great because it only put a couple in the top 8. And they were like, "Oh, this deck's so bad. Like, it's not nearly as good as people were saying it was last week, where it put 4 in the top 4. And I'm like sitting here looking at the top 32 deck list going, there's 13 decks in the top 32, guys. Like, let's pretend that none of those decks top 8 in. None of those decks top 16. In our power rankings, where it goes 6 for first, 5 for second, 4 for 3rd through 4th, 3 for top 8, 2 for top 16, 1 for top 32 if available, that's already 13 points.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, before anything else, the next decks that, like, people were saying crushed this tournament, for example, Abzan or the 4-color Rally deck, this had 4 decks in the top 32, making up 14 points. It did really well. The people who played it did well with it. The next deck, it had 5. It was tied at this event. It had 14 points, so it tied with 14. It had 5 in the top 32. It had, and that's Esper Dragons. We included in our power rankings, we're going to combine Esper Dragons and Esper Control. This is something that we don't really like to do, but for the purpose of, like, we just wanted blue control decks as a whole to be in here.
They're not. They're pretty similar. I mean, they're not.
It's debatable. It's debatable how similar they are.
Sure, yeah.
There are times where we'll do the same thing. If we want to make a point about red aggressive decks, we'll do the same thing. For example, if we had combined green-red Atarka with green-red Landfall, it also would have made our top 5, but it doesn't this week. We're gonna talk about this. So this is the third time we've done this podcast, episode 111. We've actually changed the way we're doing the power rankings. So I'm going to read the rankings, and then we're going to talk about them. So coming with a 19 points, meaning that this deck only had 5 points before this week, was Rally, 4-color Rally decks. So this comes with 19 points. Esper Dragons in Control has 24 points. This also gained 14 points this week, meaning only at 10 points before this weekend. Adexit only got 2 points this week, meaning it's probably on the decline, but still coming in at number three is Dark Jeskai. Adexit got 0 points this week and has 26 points. Eldrazi Ramp coming in at second place. Next up, with 79 points, more than three times the second place deck, we have Abzan.
Actually, if you add up the second, third, and fourth, it's still less.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. 74.
Second, third, and fourth.
Yes.
I thought you meant the rest of the top five.
No.
Yeah. Even if you had second, yeah, yes. I mean, even if there was three second place, right? Like, it's still not enough. It's 1 point short. Matt did the math on this. He said that there was 260 points available. I have not double checked this math, but I trust Matt. This means that Abzan took up about 40.7% of the entire points available in the last 3 weeks.
That's incredible.
That's insane.
That's very indicative. I mean, I think this deck has so much power to it. In the PPTQ I played in, six of the eight decks in it were Abzan.
Yeah. So if we include green, red Landfall and green, red Atarka together, they had 8 points this week. They had 4 points in the 5K, so that's 12. Even if we just add the 8 points, they would have 20 points. So they would have had 20 points putting it at fifth place. So red aggressive decks basically as a whole take up the fifth slot if you count them together the way that we can put the Esper decks together. So what do you think of these rankings? Like, is there something that sticks out to you? Is there anything that's dead? For example, Manny, when we recorded this podcast last week for episode 111 that got lost in the ether, Esper Tokens was on the list in the top five decks.
No, I don't think that's not true. So I think it's surprising to me that Abzan is crushing the field this hard. I didn't think, I mean, I know it's a great deck. I personally play it. I love it. But I didn't think the results were going to be this overwhelming in Abzan's favor. I thought the meta would shift a little bit. I did call, unfortunately, we can't go back. No one heard it. But I kind of assumed Esper Tokens was a flavor of the week kind of thing. I didn't think it was going to make it far. But everything else seems about right.
Yeah. Interesting things for me. Dark Chest Guy, serious decline. Also, you guys didn't hear me talk about this. I called this.
You did. This is, it's like, we're, you know, we called it, just all of this. It's amazing.
Yeah, I said, some kind of control deck's going to go up, whether it's Esper Dragons, blue-black, something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Dark Chest Guy goes down. I actually am surprised, though, that Eldrazi Ramp got no points. I wonder if that's a locational thing, whereas, like, European players don't want to play that. I'm not sure. But I expect this deck to continue to be good, whether it's green-black or green-red. I expect people to figure this deck out more and more as it comes along. As far as the rally deck is concerned, my thoughts on this are the deck needs too much to ever be the best deck, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'm not saying that it's bad. Don't think that what I'm saying is that. I think this deck is sweet. I think that there are tournaments that I would play it in. I'm just saying that I don't think that it has enough yet to be the best deck. Can it be the best deck? Probably. Probably one day it could be.
You just need to have a lot of the right things go right for you.
In the right matchups. It's funny because, like,
exactly.
People talk about how, like, green-black or these Jund-style decks are like, oh, well, if you draw the wrong half of your deck, you lose. And that's more true of Rally than any of the Rock decks. So... those are my thoughts on the top five. Anything you'd like to add?
I'm a little surprised Megamorph didn't do very well. I think the deck is very powerful still.
There were some Megamorph Abzan decks in these Abzan rankings. It wasn't worth separating them.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't think so.
If you look at just like Bant Megamorph and Green White Megamorph, it would have 14 points.
Okay.
So it definitely is still making up some percentage. It did. I do believe that it got zero. It got one total point in the GP this weekend at Brussels.
What do you think is the reason why it's not gaining very many points right now?
It's just worse. It's just worse than any of the Abzan variants. In my opinion, I'm not. We can talk. Let's move on to the next subject, and we can talk about why I think that. Okay. So we're going to talk about what we'd play and why, and mine is I would play either Rug Megamorph, the deck that I have a bone to pick with you about, Manny, and Abzan Megamorph, just basically, I've tried two versions. I've tried just Raptors and Den Protectors, and also the Rattleclaw. So I got the idea from the Rattleclaw Abzan deck that top aided this weekend, and I was like, well, if we're going to play Rattleclaw and Den Protector, I'm definitely playing Deathmatch Raptor. That's just happening.
It just makes sense.
Yeah. So, and also, like, why would I play Heir of the Wilds when I could just be playing Raptors? So that's what I did this week. So I'm on one of those two decks. First of all, Manny, on one of the lost episodes, I heard that somebody told Matt the mana was bad in my deck because you needed double red a lot.
Was that me? Did I say that?
I don't know. Did you?
No. But now that it's said, I can totally see that.
So for those who have tried out my deck lists that I posted last week to an article on constructcriticism.com, the actual reason that there are two basic mountains in the deck is because you need double red so much. And you need it quickly, so you want untapped sources.
But so your double red spells, your Ash Cloud Phoenix, and what else?
Savage Knuckle Blade.
That's dependent, but sure. Okay.
No, it's a. That's why people don't understand. It's the reason that when people are looking at the deck, they don't see it. They're not like, oh, this is a double red spell. But the card is significantly better when you haste it in.
Right.
And when I built the deck for the PTQ, for the RPTQ, and the reason that I had four Sylvan Caryatids for Rattleclaw Mystics was so that I could haste in my Knuckle Blades.
Okay.
So that I had turn three hasted Knuckle Blades at double red.
Right.
So we're going to do a podcast, I think, probably in the next couple of weeks about evaluating mana bases in this format and how they look and what they're doing. I'm all in on Deathmiss Raptor right now. I'm all in.
The card is very good. It's super valuable, especially when you pair it with Rattleclaw Mystic. I mean, the question isn't, you know, do you expect it to return from the graveyard? It's how many times.
Yeah, I'm all in. There's not a chance in this format currently that you could get me to not be playing Deathmiss Raptor. It's funny because I wasn't even sure it was playable when it was spoiled, and now I'm like,
you're a believer, you're a worshiper.
I didn't even play the RPTQ. Like, I was stupid. That's how I didn't even know. Like, but yeah, I'm all in, man. I'm all in. What are you playing right now, Manny?
Abzan. I mean, I love the deck. It's super powerful. It's got some explosive starts. It's got good long game. I love it. I think it's the best deck in the format.
Well, let me read you my Abzan list that they got a little bit of hype today on the Constructive Criticism Facebook group. You can join the Constructive Criticism Facebook group. Just go ask for an ad. It's just called Constructive Criticism Facebook group, and we'll add you. So I have two Anafenza, four Deathmatch Raptor, three Den Protector, two Hangerback Walker, three Rattleclaw Mystic, four Siege Rhino, two Warden of the First Tree, two Wing Mate Rock, one Silk Wrap, four Abzan Charm, three Dromoka's Command, one Murderous Cut, two Gideon Ally of Zendikar, and 25 lands. With no tri-lands.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like you've only really shifted... I mean, oh, you shifted quite a few, but it seems okay. I really like the four of Anafenza and four of Gideon in the current most popular Abzan list.
Yeah.
They do a lot of work.
Yeah, so the main thing that I've noticed playing this version of the deck is I'm very favored in the unoffensive mirror because I have Deathness Raptor.
Right, yeah, that's, I mean, that seems very good.
So, here's the other version that I've been playing. Is 2 Unoffensa, 4 Deathmiss Raptor, 4 Den Protector, 2 Hangerback Walker, 1 Nissa, 4 Siege Rhino, 1 Tassiger, 2 Warden of the First Tree, 2 Wingmate Rock, 1 Silk Wrap, 4 Abzan Charm, 3 Dromoka's Command, 1 Murder's Cut, 1 Ultimate Price, 3 Gideon. So this is the list. The list changes because... Oh, also the other list, I didn't say this for some reason, also has 2 Exert Influence in the main.
What? That's nonsense.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot to mention that. I didn't go far enough down. In case you guys are wondering where the 2 cards were, it was 2 Exert Influence in the main. But this version is a little bit slower, a little closer to the aggro versions. I want Nissa still, because I want to hedge. I think that it's as good as Gideon against control decks, but better against aggro decks. So I want to hedge there. I'm pretty all in on these Abzan decks right now. I would even probably be playing Abzan over Rug right now in one of these 2 versions.
So explain your line of thinking. Why make 2 Abzanless?
Oh, so I'm just trying to figure out which one's better. It's not a matter of, like, I have 2 different lists. Uh-huh. It's, I'm trying to figure out, like, is the list that much better trying to abuse Rattleclaw Mystic in the Megamorph package?
Gotcha.
And I don't know. I don't know what's right. But there was a list that played Rattleclaw Mystic this weekend in Abzan Blue that wasn't playing Deathmiss Raptor. And there were a lot of people playing Heir of the Wild over Deathmiss Raptor, because they wanted Death Touch in their deck to beat other Anafenzas and other Siege
Rhinos. Which is crazy when you have access to Deathmiss Raptor.
It's not crazy in the fact that you already have Anafenza in your deck, right? So if you already have 4 Anafenzas, you can go turn to Den Protector or Heir of the Wilds into Anafenza and start going off that way, and then you can even get your Heir of the Wilds to turn on itself. It's not that crazy, but for me it was like, well, am I actually losing that much of the 2-drop slot, or can't, like, if I actually just play another 3-drop, which is really full, but the format's not really punishing me for doing that, and right. I can, like, shore up my mono-red matchup in other ways. So, for me, because I already want to be the control deck, right? Already want to be the control against mono-red, so that's kind of where the 2 lists are coming from.
I see. I mean, I really like having Hangerback and Warden of the First Tree as your 2-drops. And I mean, you know, it's situational dependent, but Warden of the First Tree is almost taking up your first and second turns after you pump it.
I almost hate Warden of the First Tree. So it's,
do you? Oh,
yeah,
man.
So for me, and I was listening to the episode of Hardcast that was posted to Constructive Criticism, and it sounds like Aaron Birch agrees with me, is that it does almost nothing until, like, turn 8. You, like, play it on turn 1, and sometimes you attack with it, and sometimes maybe you'll level it up once, but, like, it really...
The amount of times I got 6 damage with that card on, you know, turn 3 is a lot.
I've had one experience. Like, I did win a game on Modo today, for example. So my Modo list, for example, is different than these lists. It's actually a little bit closer to Abzan Control, but I still have Warden in it. Mm-hmm. And I had that experience today on Modo, but I'm not sure. But that deck, for example, it plays Trilands. So
sure. Well, that deck doesn't really exist right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I like. I'm trying a lot of different things, but I think that I'm all in on Deathmiss Raptor right now.
Okay, I mean, I could definitely see why. I can totally understand why. And I mean, with Rattleclaw, that does add a lot of value to, you know, your deck.
All right. Well, let's talk about this week's training grounds, because it's very clear we both like Abzan and we want to talk about it all day. So we can't can't do that. That's not a real podcast. I want to say a few things before we move on. I want to say that as far as, like, the power rankings go, you still have to prepare for mono red. It would have taken 5th if we combined all of the red aggressive decks. I want to say that Anafenza as a 4-of is very interesting because it gives you main deck game against the rally decks. Esper Control and Esper Dragons are very different, but occupying a similar space, and they're permission decks, and you need to be prepared for those as well.
You're gonna be playing against them in somewhat similar ways.
Dark Jeskai is on the decline. The reason for this is people are just prepared for it. They're playing more Wingmate Rocks to block the Mantis Riders. Thank you to myself. And they're doing things to prepare for it. They're playing more Silk Wraps. So they're doing things to answer it. So be prepared for things that are happening.
It's just Dark Jeskai is a very powerful deck, but it is also very easy to sideboard against. I mean, the deck does have a lot of game, but once you know how to shut it down, it's much easier to manage.
So this week on a Training Grounds, so we did a let's just really quick. So last week we did a Training Grounds on surrounding yourself with similar minded people. I find that when we have a miss in an episode where Skype either makes somebody psychic where they're talking over people and they already know what they're saying before they say it, or a file gets corrupted, we are not as involved in the episode when we record the same topic. So for that reason, I decided to do a new topic this week instead of the one that we did last week. We'll still do that topic one day, but I'm going to put it back into the tank of training rounds that we have, and we're going to talk this week about having confidence.
Yeah, just put a pin in it.
Yeah, exactly. So the first thing that I want to say is that we're not going to talk about the difference between confidence and overconfidence this week. Actually, next week, our podcast is going to be on overconfidence. This week, we're just going to talk about the positives of having confidence.
Okay, and Spencer, what's the definition of confidence?
So the definition of confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. So that could be a trust, a feeling, belief, faith.
Experience.
Conviction, things like that. So, we are going to just talk about things that we've done in our Magic careers that have been that have happened because of confidence. Something that Matt and I talked about that we'll get into is building confidence throughout a tournament and the difference between that and having confidence going into a tournament. But I want to start with, what is something that you've done, or how does building confidence happen for you, Manny?
For me personally, what gets me pumped for an event and gets me feeling ready, knowing that I'm going to go to it, I'm going to succeed, I'm going to do well, is practice. I practice, I study the meta, I play as many games as I can, I make sure I try and learn as many interactions in between all of the cards in my deck and cards in the other popular decks. I get ready. I mean, that's how I build confidence.
Awesome. So for me, it's a lot of the same thing. It's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of how many matches I've had with this deck. Do I know my sideboard? Do I know what I'm doing going into each and every matchup? Something that Matt talked about when I did this episode with him that got lost is he talked about something very different, and that's actually, watching his opponents make mistakes gave him a lot of confidence.
That is something that would give Matt confidence.
You know, and he said that he believes that it's actually something that gives a lot of people confidence when they can see the mistakes of their opponents.
Sure.
And he talked about how that's something that has carried him through multiple Magic tournaments where he's like, oh, I wouldn't have made that mistake. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting that there's so many different things that you can see and do that give you individually confidence. Why does it need to be built rather than what's the difference between why can't we just have it going into event? Manny, you're a pretty cocky guy. Why can't you just have confidence going into a Magic tournament?
Well, so how I do at a lot of Magic tournaments, you know, isn't indicative, I think, necessarily of my skill, right? So some events I may go, you know, 0-2 drop happens. Some events I do very well at. But one of the things that you can't count on is that just, I mean, how do I put this? I guess being confident will help you play to the skill that you know you're supposed to play at.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
So if you're not confident, if you're second guessing yourself going into an event and you think, you know, oh, you know, I'm not going to make the right decision here. You may, in fact, make the wrong decision because you're second-guessing yourself when you're going to do something that you know is right. You're going to take the correct line of play.
It's funny that you say that because I feel like you do this more than anyone else right now.
Oh, I am guilty as charged of that.
So why does that happen so much to you?
So it didn't happen this Saturday until I started playing Pete, which I'll go into in a minute. But, I mean, part of it was that I switch decks a lot. I kind of like to mess around, you know. And coming up, you know, with this, you know, being on the podcast, the PPTQ season coming to an end, I said to myself, you know, Manny, like, you, number one, you have to do well. You have to prove that you belong on this podcast. You know, next, you have to know what you're talking about. You have to, you know, you have to be knowledgeable about the field that, you know, you're discussing. And part of that made me want to concentrate on playing Obzon because, you know, for many weeks I believe it has been the best deck. And, you know, doing that, practicing with that deck, committing to it, learning lines of play, learning the interactions, you know, learning my matchups, that all gave me a lot of confidence going into this tournament, and I think it paid off a lot.
So you didn't answer my question, though. What causes you... As great as I think that everything you said is awesome. Let me
know.
Sure,
sure. Yeah, but, let's go back. Step back.
Sure. But what causes you to second guess yourself?
Not
doing those things.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like switching from deck to deck, not knowing what all the cards in your deck do, just not being comfortable and familiar with somewhere you should be comfortable and familiar.
So the positives here is that having that confidence in your deck has adjusted your playstyle greatly. Okay, so where do you go to find confidence? This is a question for both of us. And for me, I have probably a little bit of a different way of finding confidence. One of the things that I really like is finding others that have found what I found. A great example of this is for Pro Tour Magic Origins, we did testing as a team with myself, the player from Vegas named Zach, Oscar Jones, Travis Padilla. There were a few of us on a team together. Eric Ciez, which I didn't get to test with, that I guess got some testing in with Travis. But one of the things that I found in testing for two Pro Tours ago was Mage Ring Network was crazy good. Crazy, crazy good. Something that happened later, as late as, I think 2 weeks ago now, is Reed Duke, Patrick Chapin, I think Paul Rietzel, these players are like, oh, by the way, Majoring Network, really good in control decks, you should be playing it.
Right, you said that like 3 months ago.
Right, exactly, and I found that so long ago that that's a huge confidence booster for me. It's like, yeah, guys, like I knew that a while ago. Like, way to catch up, Patrick Chapin. I said this on my podcast, you know, a while ago, and it's a little bit of like, it's a little bit of, what's the word? It's not
like a self-esteem booster.
It is that, but it's not just that. It's not, what's the negative term for this?
I don't know. I only deal in positives.
But what I'm saying is things like that. They
I mean, it's affirmation, like it's letting you know that you were correct all along.
Yeah, and Matt talked a little bit about this. He talked about like when he finds interactions that his friends didn't know about in a match of Magic, it makes him feel good. It makes him feel confident. It makes him know that the time that he's putting into Magic is worth something.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's definitely an amazing feeling when you take a line of play and your opponent is just like, what the heck just happened to me?
Yeah, absolutely. There's just... Sometimes something just clicks, and that happens from practice, that happens from repetition. I mean, those are close to the same thing, but not exactly. Sometimes you can play a match 20 times and not see this play until, like, this final turn of this Rubik's Cube where you're like, oh, this 21st time, I can't believe I didn't see this 20 times ago.
Right.
And you see this line, and that gives me and Matt talked about how it gives him a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So – Manny, have you ever benefited from having confidence in a Magic event?
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of it is, you know, knowing that you're that you can play well, that you're a good player, and that you will play well. And I think the other thing, the other part of being confident at a tournament is, you know, if you do have a loss, or if you variance does get you and you do flood out for an entire match, you're confident that you can still pick up the matches, the games that you need to, and still top eight, still do what you need to do. Like, you are capable of that. You believe in yourself.
A lot of times over my Magic career, I look back and I think about times that confidence has helped me in Magic tournaments. There's a few things that stick out to me a lot. And it's a little bit different than knowing your deck. It's similar but different. Having confidence in your deck and knowing your deck are two different things. For example, I know Chartless Buck really well, but I don't always have confidence in Chartless Buck. I know Merfolk in Legacy really well. I've literally cashed every tournament I've ever played Merfolk at the SCG circuit, but I don't always have confidence in the deck. Those are different things. Where the two combined are things like when I won States with Jund, when I top four the RPTQ with the Rug deck that I've been, you know, advocating for about 6 months now. When I top eighted the PTQ in Wyoming with Deathrite Shaman, Bloodrite Elf, Jund, all of the tournaments I played with Scapeshift, I actually think Scapeshift is the best deck. I think that it just everyone's missing it other than David Ochoa. And I think the deck is great. And I think that I have had these thoughts with all four of these specific examples where I have so much confidence in the deck and in myself playing the deck that it might actually make my results better than they should be because I know exactly what I'm doing. Whereas, for example, with like, in Legacy with like Merfolk, my results are better because I know my deck really well, mm-hmm. but Merfolk's never been the best deck in Legacy probably for a long time.
Right.
And those are different things. And having confidence in me to play Merfolk well, that's true. That's something that I've had, but confidence in Merfolk, that's like knowing your deck is different. It's a little bit different in this scenario. So let's focus on a specific scenario.
Okay.
Manny, how many times have you watched me play Scapeshift?
Literally dozens.
How many times are you like, wow, I didn't see that?
Literally dozens.
So how does that happen?
I saw you take a match against Affinity where you were like 5% to win.
But how does that happen? How does having confidence in your deck and in yourself improve your win percentage that much?
Well, I mean, you know your lines of play. You know the deck in and out. You know what you need to do against, you know, those decks, even if you may not have a great percentage against it. Whereas an Affinity player may have played against an average Scapeshift player once in a dozen times.
Okay, keep going. What caused all of this?
It gives you an advantage. I mean, what do you mean what caused it?
So, for example, like, they played against average Scapeshift players. Why couldn't those players make them be like, this is a bad matchup for me? So you're talking about, like, for example, mm-hmm. and this is something that that Matt and I talked about, is there's something that some Magic players do that is very important, and it's something that I learned to do from Brian Hawley. He now works for Wizards of the Coast. He played on multiple pro tours. And he taught me something that I found very valuable, and that's there's a difference between being lucky and playing to be lucky.
I have never heard that. I like that a lot.
And one thing that he taught me is that you're not actually that lucky if you're drawing to get lucky. Because, well, your opponent's like, man, I can't believe you top deck that. I've been playing to top deck that card for about 5 turns. And that's something that you can only do once you have confidence in yourself and in your deck and in the matchup. So this is what playing with confidence ends up being.
That this is like insane. I've like never even thought of any of this kind of stuff.
So for example, are there times where you might have played to an out that you just knew you were going to get, Manny?
No, I always play kind of with a grim outlook on the situation.
That's a very Alex Sittner way to look at Magic. It's very.
That's, you know, I'm not gonna say unfortunately, but I think I've picked up on that quite a bit. Where I try and play around everything, and try and play like as minimally with what I have.
You can play around everything and then still play to you getting lucky. But sure. What is it that we're looking for here, Manny? For example, I think we talked about this actually on the last episode where you talked about the difference between where you were at one point in your Magic career, where you are surrounding yourself with me, Matt, and Casey. Mm-hmm. Do you have more confidence going into like your FNM knowing that you play with me, Matt, and Casey than you did before?
Absolutely. I don't feel like there's any match that's unwinnable or, you know, any game that I can't, you know, take without, you know, good play and then maybe a certain amount of luck, even while playing against, you know, favored decks or favored players.
What does that mean? What do you mean favored decks, favored players?
So, Pete, for instance, and I was going to get into this a little earlier. Pete, I've drawn with him once at that Wednesday or Friday FNM, but I have a losing record against him. I think I'm like 0-3, sealed it with like 0-4 at the PPTQ. But even sitting down, you know, I wasn't just like putting my head down and just going through the motions. I still tried to play, I still tried to win, I still tried to, you know, outplay him as best as I could, and there's just, you know, no way that I was gonna just let him take the RPTQ seat without a fight.
So, where does that confidence come from? Where do you gain confidence against somebody that you've literally never beaten?
Knowing that I can be better and that I will be better.
But where does it come from? Like, you can say these things, right? It's really awesome to say, like, you know, I'm going to be better at Magic tomorrow. But
So where does it come from? It comes from, I mean, probably a little bit of my ego. I mean, if I don't think that I can
– Hold on. Stop for just a second. So sure. Let's rewind. Is it – that's okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can all have a we all want to be the very best like no one ever was.
Right.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be playing competitive Magic.
Right. If you don't, I mean, in a competitive, you know, forum, if you don't think you can be the best, then you never will be.
So let's go over this example. So, Manny, what do you bench right now?
I don't know about right now, but the last time I maxed, it was like 265.
All right. So for the next 2 weeks, you're going to go at 265 every day hard. You're going to do it.
Right.
I believe in you. So, when I put you at 270 in 2 weeks, how much confidence do you have that you can just crush that?
A lot.
You can just do it, right?
Yeah, it's nothing. It's like literally a feather on top of the barbell.
Why did that happen?
Preparation.
Because if today I put you on 270, you might not be able to do 10.
Right.
But 2 weeks from now, if I put you on 270, if you're doing 265 every day, what happened there? I mean, you literally want to be a powerlifter, a Muay Thai champion, a Magic pro. You have pretty great aspirations.
I've got a lot of them.
You're going to be a father soon. We'll get to that during shoutouts. But,
sure.
Like, what happened here? What happened where you were like, let's go back to, for example, when you were crazy and trying to get me to powerlift.
Yes. Yeah, that was a funny 2 months.
But, like, what is it that happens where for 2 months you're doing something and then you're like, you know, I'm going to add 10 pounds. And, you know, 10 pounds probably not enough, right?
No, in the world of powerlifting, 10 pounds can take you months to add on.
But in the scheme of things, if you did add 5 pounds to your 260,
mm-hmm.
5, and go to 270, after about 2 weeks, you could probably do the same reps.
Yeah, that's very – if you're preparing yourself, if you're training the way you're supposed to, if you're doing all the things you know you need to do to make that goal a reality, then absolutely.
Why? Why is it that 2 weeks of preparation prepared you to get up to 270?
I mean, that's a really interesting and hard question to answer. Why? I think part of it is just making yourself comfortable with something you didn't believe you can do, but now you know you can do.
And that's a pretty big deal, right? Like, 2 minutes ago, if I were to tell you, like, let's say that I told you that, all right, Manny, you bench 265, but tomorrow you're benching 300. You probably have no confidence in that, right?
Yeah, I would definitely walk to that bench with my shoulders slumped, my head down.
I mean, you might need two spotters. Like,
yeah.
So I think that the point that I'm getting at is there's a lot of build up to the confidence that you have. Something that Matt and I talked about is when Matt and I started playing Magic, we played Wednesdays at Game Den at the mall, at the Valley Fair Mall, where Brian Hawley, he's got Pro Tours Top 16s, he works for Wizards of the Coast, Eric Turog, he's qualified for multiple Pro Tours, Alex Sittner, you can just Google the guy, like, he owns Oasis Games, he's also, like, been a Gold Pro before, he's been qualified for the last 9 Pro Tours or something.
Yeah.
Shadi Badran, he's qualified, I believe, for 5 Pro Tours? I could be wrong on that. And then others, like others who have Worlds qualifications, things like that. And that was where we started playing Magic. And I remember the first time I beat Brian Hawley. I know Matt remembers the first time he beat Brian Hawley. And, for example, Manny, I don't know that you've ever done it in a sanctioned event, but do you remember the first time you beat, like, me?
Yes. Yeah, I do remember. We were playtesting at your house. I mean, I didn't know how you playtested at the time. So I took it, you know, very much like a real match of Magic. And just, I remember winning and just being like, no way. Like, I can't believe I finally got this guy. I've been at this for, like, hours.
So, yeah, for example, like, we might have played, like, 10 matches. You got me one. And you feel that confidence boost when you get that first one. Yeah. And it's funny. It's like people don't realize the amount of work that certain people put into Magic, and it feels so good. Manny, do you remember winning your first FNM?
Yes, yeah, I do. I remember.
Do you remember winning your first sanctioned match of Magic?
No, I don't remember that.
Matt and I remember ours. Do you remember winning your first draft?
No, I don't.
You're not a real Spike man. I don't want to tell you.
I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. I'm just teasing you. The thing is like, let's say that our listener's goal is not to go to the Pro Tour. Let's say that their goal is to win their game day next month. And
let's say it's to beat their version of Pete Dutcher.
Yeah, sure. So you have to gain incremental amounts of confidence in order to get to the place. Because if you sit down against your Brian Hawley or your Alex Sittner or, you know, whoever it is that is your nemesis, if you don't have confidence in yourself, you're not going to believe that you can do it. And you've really already lost if you don't believe that you will win, if you're not the American soccer team. That's just
– yeah, you lose a lot of initiative. You lose a lot of just of your edge.
And it's funny, it's like people are like, oh, this isn't tangible, I don't know what you guys are talking about. But a great example and something that Casey, if he was on this episode, would bring up is like beer pong championships. Basically, every beer pong championship ever has been won by somebody punching their, like, you know, partner in the face, telling them they can make the shot.
Yep.
And it's this thing that you, like, build up adrenaline, and when you have confidence, it does that. And it's so important to just know what you're doing, what you're going into, and where you're going from here. And this Magic is no different.
Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, you can draw confidence from a lot of different places. Even, you know, your group, your friends that you play with that may be supporting you at the event still, they can give you a lot of confidence too.
Yeah. I got nothing else in this, man. You have anything else to say?
No, not so far. I think the only thing really I would like to leave off with confidence is that, I mean, if you don't believe that you can be an incredible player, that you can do great things, then you're not going to have the confidence you need to get to those places.
Yeah, and I think that confidence can be different things, right? You don't have to be confident that you can be Owen Turnwald or Paulo Bichir.
No, I mean, whatever your goal may be, right? Whatever you're trying to aspire to.
Exactly. So if your goal is like, I'm going to go win this game day. I'm going to go win this FNM. I'm going to go top 8. I'm going to go win this draft. I'm going to go top 8 this PPTQ. Like, whatever it is you're trying to do, win a GPT, cash an open, whatever it is, it is going to be important for you to have confidence in yourself and to believe. And that there's not really any getting around that, because at the end of the day, if you don't have those things, if you don't – I mean, we've preached before on this podcast, like, if you're not in the mindset to play Magic, then don't play because you're not going to do well. And right. This is just another part of that. So, alrighty, well, let's wrap this up. That's it for the training rounds this week. Let's talk about our clan on MTGO. So you can join our Constructive Criticism clan by messaging myself at Spencer13Dev or Quentin at Earthstripe.
Yeah, I mean,
Q-R-T-H-Y. Oh, goodness, I'm probably doing this wrong. It's Earthstripe with U-R-T-H-Y.
Earthy Stripe? Earthy Strips?
It's Earthstripe. Yes. I'll put it in the show notes. We're just going to
put
his name in the show notes. Anyway.
I mean, play some games with the guy. He's a monster. He's an incredible Magic player. He's so great. Good.
He's a great guy. He has access to my account. We share a Magic Online collection. So if you see him online, just message him. He can add you to the clan. There will be benefits to the clan as soon as we have the Patreon money to support those benefits, such as clan tournaments, things like that. So don't hesitate to join the clan. It's an awesome way to play test with other people who are also trying to get better at Magic. So don't forget to check out the sponsor at OasisGamesSLC.com. You can, once again, get, you know, great prices at Oasis Games, so don't hesitate to check them out.
AKA the greatest store on earth.
Yeah. Patreon, don't forget that you can become a patron of the show. You can support the show directly. It means everything to me as somebody who's put just blood, probably have put blood into this podcast, sweat definitely, and so many tears into this podcast. It means a lot to me. Anytime anyone can do, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I wish that was hyperbole about the tears.
Oh no, I've definitely put tears into this podcast. Yeah, my wife can attest. So, but patreon.com/ccmtg, starting at $1 a month. You know, anything that you can do to donate is appreciated, and it will make this podcast better through sound equipment, swag, things that you guys want. It's gonna be sweet, like hoodies, t-shirts, playmats.
I want a hoodie really badly, you guys, also. Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe I'll just go make some t-shirts for me and Nanny so that we can show them off to you guys. So,
cool. Literally every dollar helps us. Every single penny, and we appreciate the hell out of it.
Yeah, and if you're a college student, it's just like, you know, dude, like, I have thousands and thousands of dollars of debt. I can't pay you to, like, talk about Magic. It's cool. Like, I get it. My wife has, you know, college debt. I understand. So it's no big deal. We just appreciate what we can get. So, where can people find you, Manny?
You can find me on Facebook. My, you know, Christian name, M-A-N-U-E-L, Manuel, last name Meraz, M-E-R-A-Z. I'm also on Twitter. My handle there is E-N-T-R-P-N-R, fresh.
I think there's a dot or a period.
Is there?
I'm pretty sure.
Get out of town.
Pretty sure it's enterprise.fresh.
Entrepreneur fresh. Yeah, that sounds right. I believe it.
Whatever.
And
anyway,
remember, Spencer has made it abundantly clear what I say on my Twitter is neither the views of CCMTG or Oasis Games.
Yeah, anything Manny says, I do not. Myself as the owner of constructivecriticism.com, do not endorse. That is 100% accurate.
Like, probably not even a tenth of what I say.
Oh, no, you just say words. You just say words that you want to say, and that's fine. You just say those words. But anyway, you can find the podcast at constructivecriticism.com, mtgcast.com, oasisgamesllc.com. You can find us on Twitter at ccmtg. Those are great places to find us. You can join our Constructive Criticism Facebook group. Just search Constructive Criticism Facebook group. You can also like us on Facebook. It's just Constructive Criticism. And you can find me on Twitter at SpencerStudentH, on Facebook at Spencer Stephen Howland, and basically everywhere at SpencerStudentH, except for Modo, where I'm Spencer13Dev. So, that's about it. And
shout-outs.
Shout-outs. Go ahead, Manny.
Shout-out to Pete. Congratulations. I'm actually very happy for you. I'm really glad that you're going to the RPTQ. You know, amazing, great job, and also I hate you.
Awesome. Any other shout-outs?
To my beautiful girlfriend, who's now carrying my baby. She's the best.
Well, I also have a shout out to your beautiful girlfriend who is carrying your baby. She's super funny and she's like super awesome. And shout out to you guys for getting preggers again. Shout out to my wife. So my wife is a school teacher, as many of you may know. She's a first grade teacher. And she's looking for a little bit of support. She's trying to get a specific rug for her classroom that has spaces for students to sit so that when it's time to get together and sit on the floor in a group to learn, they're less distracted because a lot of times children understand personal space, so they have a hard time, like, fitting themselves into a space where they should belong. And so this rug separates that for them is kind of my understanding of it. But it's
This sounds like a prison without bars.
Yeah, but it's helpful to the teachers.
It's
more focus.
It's a goof. It's a goof.
And it's a $600 rug.
Oh, my.
And so she already has about $500 donated. So I'll put it in the show notes where you can, if you can, donate or even just share it with, like, other friends, other people who want to help teachers out. But she means the world to me. It's really awesome that she works in a profession where she makes the world a better place because that means a lot to me as a person. So shout out to Matt Kling. He did a podcast with me on Monday that's not going to get posted likely. And who knows? Maybe you guys will get two episodes.
Ooh, wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be cool. If his backup recording works, we might do that. Go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, I think that is great, and I think Dev is an angel and a sweetheart, and she loves her children so much. And I think that's so great that you're, you know, allowing our listeners to help her out. That's awesome. Like, kids are, you can't ever feel bad about helping school children.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not, if you don't want to help, like, it's not a big deal. It's weird for me to ask, but, and she didn't ask me to ask either. It's just that, like, she's already raised, you know, 90% of it or whatever. And
dude, I'm gonna ask my real job, iFixit, and see if they want to donate.
Yeah. And yeah, so basically it's, she's gotten so much by herself that it was like, you know, it'd really suck if in December you didn't get this rug. So anyway, yeah. Shout out to all the listeners who support us. It means a lot to us. The people of the Facebook group and things like that. It just means the world to me that you guys are listening. And yeah, I feel like I try and stay super humble about this podcast, and you guys make it really easy when you tell me how good Grey Merchant is. So let's go on to hashtag Would That Be Good. So hashtag Would That Be Good is our Twitter outreach program where we talk about the things that you guys want us to talk about. Basically, if you send a tweet with hashtag Would That Be Good into the Twitterverse, we will talk about it. So let's get started with it was the weird one. It was, it's not there. Way after that. Oh, I'm not on all.
Yeah, you gotta go to live.
Live, yeah, I gotta go live. Gotta get the live feed of this. Thanks for noticing, but something went technically wrong. Is it, my Twitter is down.
What?
Yeah.
Kidding.
Why don't you read off the first one from 2 weeks ago? I believe it's the one that is from the woman about having the young lady about having no emotions or never changing her mind. I'm sorry.
Oh, maybe mine's not working either because the I only see like four tweets. Because the one from LTO with the Andrew Walden one with Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is hilarious.
Well, so it's 2 weeks back. Or 3 weeks back, actually. So,
oh, you're right. Yeah, because we already went through all
of those. So start with WizKit on November 2nd.
Okay.
And it would say, my feelings never change. Hashtag, would that be good?
Oh, my gosh, dude. You're like an elephant. You never forget anything. Yes, yeah. That's correct. On November 2nd.
Yeah. So WizKit, yeah, I don't think it would be good if your feelings never change about anything. Yeah, I feel like that's a little bad.
It's very inhuman.
Yeah. So, we agree. Matt, on the other hand, thinks there's room in the world for sociopaths, is that what he said. So, he also called you a sociopath, so I don't know. I think I am 23-0 in matches with, not kind of draws with my rug mid-range deck. I really, really, really enjoy it. Hashtag would that be good. Hashtag MTG. I believe I've won 10 more matches and have one loss since then. So I'm around, like, my overall record is probably 33-1-3 with the deck. So.
I think that sounds pretty good.
I mean. So I wrote an article about kind of like different Raptor decks that you could try out in Standard. Check it out at constructorcriticism.com. Ben Williams says, I think I'm going to start using Team Tier more. That way someone can tell me what I'm doing wrong. Honestly, Ben, anything that anyone can do to improve their game at Magic the Gathering, I am all for. I have never used Team Viewer. I'm not sure what it's for. But I'd be happy to like do anything I can to help you get better at Magic.
So I think what TeamViewer is like a program where people can watch you play Magic. This seems like awesome.
Yeah, I've never used it, but it sounds sweet. Simon says, Flyers and Evasion is so powerful in Battle for Zendikar. Hashtag good, hashtag LTOMTG. I recorded the LTO and forgot to talk about this. So let me talk about it on this podcast. Yeah, I actually think that Flyers and Evasion are like really good and at a premium in Battle for Zendikar. So, yes, I completely think that it is great, and you should draft Flyers whenever you can. Bodhi says, how do you beat someone who, when you are playing aggro, and they gain 44 life? At Spencer Fickenage, at Kevin Smith, at Pratt, which is Chris Pratt, hashtag to be good. Honestly, you just have to hope they have nothing, and you just get there.
Yeah, just steamroll them, I guess.
Like, yeah, 44 is a lot of life, and I'm sure whatever caused this tweet was a really frustrating experience. Next up, we have Kevin, who says, great to have contact back with CCMTG. Thanks, Spencer 3H. Hashtag would be good. Check out Hardcast every week on constructivecriticism.com. And thank you, Kevin, for being a part of the family, as well as Aaron and... threw myself under the bus here. I don't actually remember the third co-host name right now, but... awesome for you guys for being back on the site. I love listening to your podcast and getting a little bit of a different perspective into the Spike metagames. So Jason says, Spencer13H, apparently tagging people works for you sometimes. Hashtag, would that be good? Where Sean Conray favorited and followed Jason. Yeah. So that, we, and
that's Sean, a, that's an accomplishment you can take to your grave. That's incredible.
So I've had Taylor Swift, LeBron James, all kinds of people favoriting tweets that I mentioned in through our fans. The running joke never gets old. I really think it's great. I think it's really funny. You guys tagging me with famous people just from those comments that I made about being tagged with awesome Magic players. So keep them coming, guys. Like, it's never gonna get old to me. So I think it's great. And also, congrats on Chung Henry following you. So getting your first article posted to Card Confidants. Hashtag, that'd be good. Congratulations, CJ. Like, you are now a Magic writer.
That is awesome. That's, like, the coolest thing. I think I want to start writing articles for us. That seems fun.
Said every co-host of Constructive Criticism ever.
I'm jealous of CJ, and I can't live with it.
All right. Well, Spencer Howland says, new blog post is up for ConstructiveCriticism.com. Hashtag go green. Hashtag MTG. Hashtag would that be good. Wrote a little blog post about, like, different decks you could be playing, so check it out. Next up we have Manny says, took second at the finals of a PPTQ. Hashtag would that be good. No. No, you lost. You're the first loser.
Yeah, sure.
Michael says, this is why I team.
Michael says, I hate my friends, and I wish they would congratulate me, and they suck.
I congratulated you when it happened.
True. Okay, moving on.
Michael says, this is why teamer hashtag would be good. Hashtag rug life. Hashtag is that Thunderbreak Regent casting Disdainful Stroke. Hashtag Sorok is sideboard claw. Yeah, I mean, I'm all about the rug life, so I think this is fantastic. Also, your opponent seems so dead.
They seem very dead.
And last one we have is Eggbeat says, at Spencer13H, at King James, that is LeBron James. 5-0'd a Legacy Daily with Jund. Found out I cited out Bloodbird Elf in most matchups. We're going to actually read this one again next week when Matt is on. I'd rather actually save this one. Is that okay with you, Manny?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great topic.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone. We're going to save the next one also. So okay. Casey, we'll talk
people,
about your people, your vintage
people
shenanigans
Casey
later.
And they miss him.
Yeah. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Manny, you have anything else to say?
No, just I love this podcast, and our listeners are the best people in the whole world.
Awesome. Well, we'll see y'all next week, and have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye.